We're continuing our study through the book of Ephesians. If you want to open your Bible up there, we're in the chapter 1, verse 3. If you've been here the last couple of weeks as we've started into the book of Ephesians, we've talked about what the greeting, the beginning of the book of Ephesians starts with. That this is not just a book, but it was actually written as a letter to at least the church in Ephesus, if not multiple churches or the groups of churches in Asia Minor. And this was written by Paul the Apostle, and we see that right from the beginning, that Ephesians Ephesians 1:1 starts and says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The last couple of weeks we've talked about this greeting and introduction, about the city of Ephesus and the saints who were there, the fact that Paul spent a number of years actually in Ephesus planting and training the church there, that this was the church where Apollo spent time, this was the church where Timothy pastored, and this was probably one of the more mature churches based on the amount of teaching that they received directly from the apostles. And the church in Ephesus, the letter to the church in Ephesus is one that was written while Paul was in prison in Rome, kind of after his missionary journeys, and in the last 2 to 3 years of his life, most likely. And so this is one of the capstone letters, we kind of think of it as. Many refer to Ephesians here as like the gospel in a nutshell, or this is the summary of all of Paul's teaching. This is kind of the full completeness of gospel statements. And it's similar in a lot of ways to the letter that he wrote to the Romans, because it has some real kind of meaty doctrine stuff, and the letter starts right off with that. But it's a little bit different than Romans, because it's a little bit less detailed and a little bit more broad. And we see this in the verse that we're looking at today in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. If you want to read along with me in verse 3, Paul says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him." Verse 3, you see here, Paul, he goes right from who's writing the letter. I'm Paul, I'm an apostle writing to the saints who are in Ephesus. He tells, it reminds him of grace and peace. We talked about that last week. And he launches into the text of the letter with this: "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." You see how kind of a broad, big scope that is when you look at it. This is one of the reasons that we want to look at Ephesians as we go through verse by verse and look at these things, and we see that it's a big broad statement that he makes here with lots of words that have a ton of meaning. Okay? A ton of meaning in them. And you start right from the beginning, and you see, blessed be God. He's blessed us with spiritual blessings. You see the repeating of blessing and blessed. And I think we can start with that right there, about what is blessed, or what is it to be blessed? What does this word blessing have to do with? We'll often say this, blessed, or to be blessed, is to be made happy, to be given some sort of thing that makes you glad, that encourages you. To be blessed is to receive something that is really for your good and ultimately ought to make you happy. To be blessed, blessed be somebody or something, is really to be happy. Which is kind of a strange way. We don't often think about Christianity having a purpose really of making people happy. In fact, when it's taught incorrectly, saying that Christianity is about making you happy, it's kind of a false doctrine, isn't it? But blessed, and spiritual blessings we'll talk about, are these things that we're receiving from God, that they're gifts and things that He gives to us, and they're attitudes, and they're changes in our heart, they're changes in our mind, and our attitudes, and our outlook, and our worldview, and all kinds of things that He gives to us, and they do have the result of making us happy. They do have that result. Now, right from the get-go, when we say, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ," I always have trouble with this. I always have. This isn't the only verse. When it says, God, look at what he's saying. Paul is sort of making a statement that he hopes or wants or is giving the expectation that God is the one who would be blessed. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's not talking about blessings that He gives to us here. He's not talking about blessings of any sort to us or that we would be blessed. He's talking about God being blessed. Now, how does God get blessed? What does that even mean? I always struggle with this a little bit. I don't know if you've ever stopped and looked at one of those statements that God's perfect. He's the perfection of everything. He doesn't have any needs. He doesn't want for anything. He's fully complete in Himself. There's nothing that I could give Him that He didn't give to me first. Right? There's no blessing that I can make sacrifice and I can give and I can go and visit the sick and the prisoned and the and take care of people. I can do all of the things that He commands me to, that says that when I do it to one of the least of these, I'm doing it to Him. I can give my life to the work of the gospel. I can even give my life to the flames of the fire. I can even be martyred for it. Like, but I'm not giving Him anything He doesn't already possess. Right? How do you bless God? What does that even mean? Well, if blessed, John.
Yeah.
Well, sure, yeah.
He's blessed by our love for Him.
When we look at blessed in this way and we understand it like kind of be made happy, made more glad, God is blessed by our love that we have for Him.
Because I know exactly what you're saying. It's like helping garbage.
Exactly right. All I ever brought to God was my garbage and my trash and gave Him more work to do. Right? It's all I really ever brought. But now when we say that that God is blessed by us, by our lives sacrificed to Him, by our love for Him, He's blessed by that. We're not saying that He needed it. But we are saying, wouldn't you agree that God wants it? He deserves it. And He has a desire for it. He wants it. In fact, He makes purposes and plans and works things out in such a way that He is accomplishing His blessing. He's getting blessed by the things that He's getting given, which are our lives, really. The real sacrifices that we give is ourselves. And this blesses God. It makes God happy. Look at some of these other passages that talk like this. In Psalm 106, verse 47, it says here, "Save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the nations, that we may give thanks to Your holy name and glory to Your praise. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting, and let all the people say, Amen. Praise the Lord." You see, these verses like this, especially in the Psalms, talk about it like this, like God is saving us. It's Psalm 106:47, "Save us, O God, gather us from among the nations, that we may give thanks to Your holy name and glory in Your praise. Blessed be the Lord and God of Israel." Blessed be the Lord and God of Israel. What blesses Him? That He's saving these guys, gathering them from out of the nations, that they give Him thanks and praise. And it repeats it. Praise the Lord. Let all the people say Amen.
Amen.
Blessed be the Lord God is involved with praised be the Lord God. Praised be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Make Him happy. How? By praising Him, by thanking Him, by doing the things that He commands us to do. These things, in a sense, make God out to be happy. I keep saying it sort of in a simplistic way because I really do think it's kind of that simple. It's not only in Psalms, it's in Revelation 2. Revelation chapter 7, think about this, what's described in Revelation 7 verse 11. It says, "All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Amen. And when I look at verse 12, when the elders, what they're saying, now would you agree, step through this with me, would you agree in the throne of God, throne room of God, things always happen according to His desire? Things are going on there perfectly according to what He wants it to go on like. That's one place where I'm real confident that everything's happening according to His will, right in His own throne room. These guys are bowing down and saying, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. I have an easier time with glory to our God forever and ever and wisdom to our God forever and ever and thanksgiving to our God and honor and power and might. Those things, but blessed. This is the first thing. Blessings to God forever and ever. That's the first thing they say in their list of all these things. In the worship of God. That He would be blessed. And this is how Paul starts his letter to the Ephesians as he starts rolling out of the greeting into the text of his letter is, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. May God be happy. And then, notice what he does. May God be happy how? In love he predestined us to be adopted according to his purpose, according to his will, that according to the riches of his grace. May he be praised. Basically, in a nutshell, this is a summary of a lot of the stuff in here. That in him we've obtained an inheritance. We've been predestined on and on according to the counsel of his will. His will is that he would be blessed. And Paul says this right from the get-go. Think about it from God's perspective. If you made purposes from before the foundation of the world to save people, to take your enemies and make them into your friends, into your children, to change them from those who oppose and hate you to those who love you and would die for your name, wouldn't that make you kind of glad? I'm lacking words to describe it other than happy, glad, and blessed. It seems to me a little bit like Paul might have been lacking words too, because he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And what does that mean? Here it is. We're blessing God. We're praising Him. We're worshiping Him. We're doing what He wants. And His purposes are being accomplished. From God's perspective, He's being blessed. Even though from our perspective we're bringing our garbage to Him and dumping it on His doorstep. That's exactly what He wants. Men and women who can't do anything to help themselves to come to Him. And to dump their garbage and to take His Son instead. So, I think all of this stuff right here is all directly related to the purposes like that. So, how is it that you can be reminded about the stuff we talked about last week, grace and peace to you from God? How is it that we can be reminded about all of these things and all the spiritual blessings that we've received in the heavenly places, which is what we're going to talk about next? Our perspective where we've received all these spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. How can you not see the grace and peace and be reminded of those things and hear about the spiritual blessings and be reminded about our standing in the heavenly places now and not come to God praising Him and wanting Him to be blessed with what the results of His Son's work were? That should be our response. Praise and blessing and glory and honor to God for all that He's done. So this is both the beginning and the result of these things that we're reminded of. Psalm 66:8 says, bless our God, O peoples, let the sound of His praise be heard. You have any interest in blessing God? It's a really straightforward verse. Psalm 66:8, I think it's printed on the handout thing if you have them. The little sheet there in the back if you don't have them. 66:8 is simple. Bless our God, O peoples. How do you bless God? How do you bless God? Right here. Let the sound of your praise be heard. The praise and the why do we praise God? What are we doing? All of that stuff is built into that. And so there is this expectation about blessing God. It's a little bit less mysterious to me after I spent time trying to look at it. Right? So, how often should we be reminded ourselves about these things? Not just about the focus on God being blessed, but this verse also transitions, talks about how God's blessed, and also that He, the Lord Jesus Christ, and God the Father, in fact, has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing. See how the sentence structure works? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That God, who is the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. You guys ever think about all the spiritual blessings? How often do you think we should be reminded about those things? Every second. Well, I guess it depends on how often you want to be blessed by them. How often you want to be obedient? How often? Yeah. This is one of the reasons why I think it's really kind of vitally important that this is a place, you know, a church is a place where the praises for God are often sung and the spiritual blessings are often discussed and the meetings are of a spiritual nature about spiritual topics in the church. It's one of the reasons why if you want to be blessed regularly, where should you probably spend some of your time regularly? Among the people who have the purpose of gathering for this purpose, about reminding one another about the spiritual blessings, about being encouraged about these things. Okay? The blessings, in fact, we're often blessed simply by the reminder of them. Aren't you blessed? Aren't you made happy by the reminder of the spiritual blessings? Even if I don't even try to enumerate some of them, just saying that. You have spiritual blessings in Christ that God the Father purposed to give you. Doesn't that make you glad? Aren't you a little bit happy? We're blessed by these things. Hey, we get reminded about these things that have been accomplished and what's yet promised, not fully delivered yet. Even the things that aren't here yet, that we haven't fully received, that are only just the beginnings. You know, the most miserable people, I think, on the planet are the people who focus on themselves. And they're focused on my happiness. I'm focused on what I want today and my happiness. And what I can get. And I'm thinking about my problems, my aches and pains, my things. How do I keep what I got and how do I get more? I think the most miserable people are the ones who keep their minds fixed on the things that the world has to offer them and what they're doing with them. Even though what they think is that they think that by focusing on such things, they'll find lasting happiness. They'll be blessed. In fact, Christians often fall into this thing of looking at it like blessings are what they were under the old covenant. More cows. Faster donkeys. Amen. Right? Amen. Better clothes, nicer house, you know. Rain on my crops. Like that's not what we're under. And Paul brings us to not just say we should be happy about all the blessings we receive. He specifically points to the spiritual blessings that we receive from God. Why is that? Well, if I know that I'm adopted into God's family, and that's one of the blessings, is I've been adopted. I'm his child. He treats me like I'm his father. I don't care how fast my donkey is. It doesn't matter whether I'm warm or cold or hungry or people like me or not. Although there's an aspect of we should care about that. But if we're representing Christ and they don't like us because we're mean people or something. But you know what I mean? Like I'm not getting along. These things mean less when I can be reminded of the spiritual blessings and I take my focus off myself and I think about God and what He's given me, what He's done. I have a higher likelihood of being less miserable. The most miserable people on the planet are those who are trying to find happiness. So I think we need to be reminded about these blessings, these spiritual ones that are in the heavenly places. And it's also good to be reminded not just about them and what we've received, but what we haven't received in full yet too. You know, like the Hebrews 11:39 talks about that all these people were commended for their faith, but they did not receive what was promised to them yet. They lived these happy, productive, faithful lives, but they didn't receive everything yet. Do we receive everything in this life? Is all of the blessing about this life? Or is a lot of the blessing the anticipation of what's yet to come? There's a huge anticipation. Don't you get happy when you think about something that's coming down the road? Like a vacation? If you've been working real hard, oh, I can't wait for that week off and going to the whatever, just not going to the office, not going to the job site, not going to the whatever. Like, doesn't that just make you a little bit happy? Doesn't it just help you get through the day just a little bit? Like, and when you think about it in the spiritual sense, I can't wait kind of until I'm away from this thing and I got no more suffering, tiredness, sickness, no more sin, no more temptation, no more struggle. Doesn't that encourage you and make you a little bit? Those are spiritual blessings that are yet to be fully realized. So how are these spiritual blessings different than the material ones? You know, the truth of the matter is that most people in the world actually receive some measure of material blessing, don't they? Most people actually do. Matthew 5:45 says that He makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good and sends the rain on the just and the unjust. Common grace is such that people experience material blessings, that they things that they're given that make them happy that they don't deserve. We can add that into the concept of blessing if we want, that it's an undeserved grace kind of a thing. But people everywhere in the world, all of them deserve to die and go to hell this instant, just like that. But He sends rain and gives them crops and He gives them family and friends, and he gives them the things that they need to live. And most people, most of the time, actually have a little bit more. Even in the poorest countries, they have a little bit more than they deserve, don't they? Just by virtue of, like, people aren't beating them half to death every second of every day. Okay. Wealth, health, security, safety, family, friends, all these things are things that the world brings to us. They bring happiness to us, whether you're a Christian or not. Family and friends, when they're decent, bring some happiness into your life, right? That's true. But these are worldly blessings. We talk actually a lot about fleeing from worldliness, fleeing from the focus on being made happy by worldly things, by being made happy by the same things that the lost, unspiritual person goes and seeks after to be happy. Listen to that list I just listed off. It's not all of them, but health, wealth, security, safety, family, friends, blessings. Christians are actually encouraged to flee from the focus on the worldly blessing. I think that worldly people seek to be made happy by those things. When Christians seek to be made happy and focus their time and attention on these things, health, wealth, security, safety, family, friends, you're pouring your attention and energy into the things that are worldly and of this world, and what's being neglected while you're doing it? The spiritual things. If you're focusing on the world, you can't be focusing on the spiritual. Does that mean you can't come to church with your family? Of course not. But does that mean that you and your family should be really focusing on the things that are not of the Lord, not spiritual? It's probably a dangerous thing. You know? Until you find the health kick thing that makes you, gives you eternal life that's equal to the one that the spiritual focus gives you, then maybe the health focus isn't always so appropriate, right? What's on your lips all the time? What do you talk about when you have the opportunity? Even what do you talk about amongst the brethren when you have the opportunity? These give us some glimpse into how we view what we think blessings are. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says that we're supposed to look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, they're temporary, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Those things that we can see, even good things, health, wealth, family, friends, security, safety, add to the list, plug in whatever you want. If you can see it, it's probably temporary. Including the guy sitting next to you to a degree. Now, he has an eternal soul, but that garbage that clothes him now is temporary. Not just his clothes, but all of it. Okay? So, where should our time and attention and focus be poured into? Anything that takes your focus and your security off of the things of this world and forces you to go to the Lord to find it from Him will bless you. It will. It really will. And you will miss out on those things if you hold so tightly to the things of this world, your health and family and friends and other things, that you miss the spiritual in order to grab hold of the physical. These things are transient, they're temporary. And we're told not really to look to those things. Don't look to those things to know that I'm happy, that I'm doing good, that I'm getting all of this stuff. You know, it's also true about worldly versus spiritual blessings that the average person, like I said, can enjoy the worldly stuff. They can enjoy the material blessings, but they can't enjoy the spiritual blessings. The natural man cannot. Only those who are Christians can actually enjoy the spiritual blessings. You know why? Because unless you're a Christian, Colossians 2:13 says, you are dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, and God needs to make you alive to receive those spiritual blessings. You are dead in your sins. You don't have a spiritual aspect to who you are that is alive that God could even bless you in, even if He wanted to. God can do whatever He wants. It's kind of a big statement, but you're spiritually dead. You can't experience spiritual happiness. And same thing with the physical thing. If I am physically dead in the ground or on top of it, if I'm physically dead, I don't enjoy a good steak. I don't enjoy time with my family. I don't enjoy, whatever it is that the world has to offer. Same thing in the spiritual realm. If you have no spiritual life, you don't enjoy any of it. Ivan, what did you say?
Go-karts.
If I'm dead, the go-kart's no fun. Okay? So, like that, if you're talking about spiritual blessings, which Paul is and we are, then the spiritual blessings are only to be experienced by spiritual people. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Yeah, so 1 Peter 1:3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's another letter that starts the same way that Paul starts his letter. Peter the Apostle starting his the same way. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Doesn't that sound similar? And he continues and said, according to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven kept in heaven for you. Kept in heaven for you. The same kind of thing. This blessing that comes from the spiritual life that you get when you're born again. Born again is where you get spiritual life. You have to be reborn by the Spirit to receive spiritual life. If you're not born again, what do you have? You just have just what you are. Just the flesh. You just have yourself. You don't have this spiritual stuff. Yeah, this is right. In Hebrews 6, John's talking about there's this idea that there's people who are kind of blessed. They kind of have tasted the heavenly gift. They've shared in the Holy Spirit. They've shared in that. They've experienced something of the influence of the spiritual life. But the evidence that they weren't born again is that they fall away. The spiritual becomes transient. The spiritual becomes temporary, right? But if you're not born again, then yeah, you can get a little bit of experience sometimes where I can go to church for a year or two or a couple months or something and get some different friends. And it does actually make me happy because now I have people who are interested in serving me and helping me, and they're interested in others as opposed to the friends I used to have that were all about themselves. We see people do this, don't we? Like, wow, this is so great. It's such a blessing to be around these Christians. They're so loving and kind and nice and like great. Yeah, praise the Lord. They're like Jesus. Well, if they're temporarily in that, of course they're going to like that. But then the weight of the spiritual stuff comes to light and they reject it. They turn away from it. So there's those who are temporarily blessed and made happy by it, but it's never a permanent thing, right? And so this is how it is. So you can be blessed by some stuff that's nice like that, but it's not what you're going to end up being changing to unless you really have the Spirit. It's because Paul says this to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 2:13, that we impart this in words not taught by wisdom of human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit. Interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the same things of the Spirit, at least not permanently, right? Because they are spiritually discerned. He does not understand them. The one who's not spiritual can't comprehend these things. You have to have the Spirit of God translate them to you so that you can understand them. You have to be given a new nature. You have to be born again in the spiritual, have a spiritual life to even accept these truths and to understand them, accept them, and to do them. Right? Because that's how it is. And so these blessings are said to be spiritual blessings here in Ephesians by Paul because they are spiritual. They're not really for the natural man. You have to be born again. If you want to be blessed by things like forgiveness from God, grace, mercy, fellowship with the saints, revelation, assurance, adoption, discipline, on and on the list goes, you have to be born again by the Spirit. You can have a little bit of liking the forgiveness of God, but it won't matter very much to you for very long if you're not spiritual. You have to be born again for these things. Look at what this says, Paul, how he writes it. He says that we have been blessed in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Do you think that God deals with the blessings, the things He gives us to make us happy and thereby make Himself happy? Do you think that He gives those things kind of some to one person and not another? Kind of like the spiritual gifts or something? Like this person's a teacher and that person's a servant, and like the, you know what I'm talking about, the spiritual gifts? You think these blessings that we're talking about are sort of like a little bit for him and none for him and a lot for her and like that? They don't come that way. He says that these are every spiritual blessing. Every spiritual blessing happens this way. If you look at it, much of Ephesians chapter 1 is really about predestination, God's purposes, the mystery of His will, the counsel of His will. And from that perspective, every spiritual blessing is given to us, the individual believers. Every spiritual blessing. 2 Peter 1:3 says, His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. There's a whole lot that you could talk about in this, but get this, His divine power has granted us everything we need for this life, for godliness. Every blessing, every spiritual blessing He's delivered. Not just in the broadest sense to the church, but to the individual person. Everything you need is delivered to you through these spiritual blessings. Everything you need for this life and godliness, He delivers on the spiritual blessings. It actually comes at the new birth. Now we learn about it, we're blessed by it, we're reminded about it, it grows. Praise the Lord, we're sanctified in the Spirit. All this stuff happens that way, but He gives all of this stuff. It's a nice big package. Right? Blessings happen that way from God. And you see, from God's perspective, which is where I think Paul writes this from, we are receiving every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Some would say that Paul, Martin Lloyd-Jones said this about this letter to the Ephesians, is that Paul is observing all of this and writing to us as if from God's perspective, which is in the heavenly places we've already been blessed, we are already received, we're already seated at the right hand of God with Christ in the heavenly places now. From God's perspective, this is all done. And when Paul encourages us, I think, to look at our blessings from the heavenly perspective, because he not only tells us that we've received every spiritual blessing, but that we've received them in the heavenly places, I think he is calling our attention to that. From that perspective, from God's perspective, from the perspective of heaven, every spiritual blessing is delivered already. Sometimes we have a very man-centered view of Christianity. What did I get? What do I have? What am I going to get next week? How am I better off than I was before? Why isn't this guy loving me like the Bible said I should? Why isn't my wife doing what she's supposed to? I know the Bible and I'm waiting for these things. I'm happy, I got this, I got the other thing, and talk all about the blessings in that way. Paul encourages, I think, here not only to take a man-centered view of, yes, we most certainly have individually received every spiritual blessing, but look at it also from God's perspective. God-centeredness about these things. It's appropriate to consider and for us to be joyful that we've received what we've received from God. And then we can put forth our effort into understanding our responsibilities to do with the thing, what we should do with the things He's given us. You get that? If we get it from God's perspective and not ours so much, the blessings can become more of an emphasis about what is my response to them and less about glorying in the receipt of them. It's not actually a whole lot of everything about what the Bible says in its full counsel for us to do nothing really other than sit down, praise Him, and thank Him all day long for the things He's given us. He actually has given us things to be used to have something to do with them. And so the full counsel of God teaches us that way. And so from the heavenly perspective, we can see not only the blessings, but we can start to see the why the blessings. Why the blessings? They're for a purpose, so that we can use these things, not just to glorify Him in what we think and say, but the things we do, and the way that we can talk to other people about it, and the way that we offer the spiritual blessings to them. Isn't that the gospel message? Offering the spiritual blessings to those who don't have them? It's the offering of those things. And so when we see it from God's perspective, we can lose our focus on ourselves and we can look at those things that way. You see, we are this. We are this. Ephesians 2:6, later in this very book, it says that we're raised up with Him and seated with Him. He seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ. We know that this tent is our earthly home that gets destroyed, according to 2 Corinthians 5. Okay, but God has a building that's not made with hands. We're already there. We're eternal in the heavens with Him. If you've been raised with Christ, Colossians 3:1 says, then seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Here's the thing for us. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. And there is even a way that we can look at the spiritual blessings from an earthly perspective. Set your minds on the things that are above and not just on the things here. For you have already died and your life is already hidden with Christ in God. From God's perspective, it's all done, isn't it? And so when He says that He's every spiritual blessings in the heavenly places, I do think He's drawing our attention up to that. And the last thing I want to emphasize, we already said this, but I want it to be emphasized, is there's only some who are eligible to receive spiritual blessings. Only some. We talked about being born again and how you have to have a spiritual life to receive them. But it's specifically here in this verse in Ephesians doesn't talk about being born again. Peter did, but this doesn't. This talks about He has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing. That those two words, that little phrase, in Christ. This has got to be one of the most meaningful phrases in the Bible. One of the most meaningful phrases in the writings of the apostles. We see it in Christ right here. If you look down Ephesians 9, 12, 20, right here in the middle of us, of what we're doing, that we are in Christ, that He has set forth His plans in Christ, that He has purposed these things in Christ. Salvation, adoption, fellowship, peace, mercy, happiness, joy, blessings, all of it is in Christ, in Christ. Jesus Himself said in John 15, abide in Me and I in you. The branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Who's the vine? Jesus is the vine. Whoever abides in Me and I in Him, he it is that bears much fruit. If you don't abide in Christ, you'll be thrown away like a branch and burned with fire. In Christ or not in Christ? In Christ is important. Abiding in Him. Being in Christ, right? 1 John 4:16 says, by this we know that we abide in Him because He has given us His Spirit. We know that we're in Him because we have the Spirit. Romans 8:1 says there's no condemnation for those who are what? In Christ Jesus. For the law has set us free. The Spirit has set us free from the law of sin and death. Even Romans chapter 6 verse 5 talks about how we've been united with Him. We've been united with Him in His death and united with Him in His resurrection. And in Christ is this thing. You could do a whole giant teaching about this, about in Christ, when we put it in the context of our verse that we're trying to understand. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. There's this emphasis about who's God. He's the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And what have we been blessed with? These spiritual blessings. Where? In the heavenly places. How? In Christ. That's how. You can't miss that. What, where, who, all these things are here. And where? How and where? Where in the heavenly places? But how did we get there? In Christ. Christ is there. And we have to be in Him. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, therefore if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away, behold the new has come. And we even know that at some time there will be this idea that the Lord Jesus Himself will descend from heaven. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 says, with the cry of the command of the archangel and the sound of the trumpet, and the dead in Christ will rise. There's dead in Christ. There's those who are living in Christ. Those who are raised in Christ. Those who have a new life in Christ. Those who are blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. If you're not in Christ, you can't have this. It's not for you. If you have anything like it, it'll be temporary. Okay? So you have to be in Christ. So how do I get there? Come to the Lord. Come to Jesus as His, and make Him your Lord. He needs to be your Lord. Come to Him. Beg Him to take you. He never casts anyone out. I need to be in you. I need to be in Christ in order to get these spiritual blessings. Now hopefully this helps us out a little bit about all this blessings and blessed and blessed in heavenly places. But in Christ you can't miss this. This is so throughout the Scripture. How do we get there? We have to be in Christ. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank You that You take rotten sinners like me and like many of my brothers and sisters here. Lord, I thank You that You will take us, that You will give us these spiritual blessings, that You'll change our lives, that You'll give us a new life. No matter how many times we've messed up our own lives or focused our attention on the wrong things, or even for some of us after we've been Christians for a number of years, Lord, we get drawn back into the world. We're stuck with focusing on our own health or our own fitness or our own families or our own stuff, our own worldly material things, and we've lost sight of our first love. Lord, I thank You that You bless us with every spiritual blessing in Christ. And I pray that if we've come down this path of finding all of our blessings in these things, Lord, that we would forsake them for You, that we would renounce them for You, that we would come to You, Lord, to be found in Christ alone, so that we might receive lasting spiritual blessing and not the temporary blessing of these other things, Lord. Teach us these things, I pray. Help us. Lord, teach us and help us to know what it is to be in Christ, so that we might not be found on the last day to be standing on our own. But Lord, we must be in You. Jesus, I pray that You call us and help us today. Enable us to come and worship You. And Lord, I pray that You would be blessed, that You, God, would be blessed, that You would be pleased and happy, and that we would offer You not only our praise as we sing, but the praises of a broken heart and a sacrificed life, Lord. Pray that You would know that we find You worthy because we actually do those things for You. I pray and ask You in Jesus' great name for Your help. Amen.